Good morning. We're going to be in 1 Timothy today, so if you want to grab your Bibles and turn there. There was an extra sermon note sheet today. Sorry about that. It's a lot to say. we're in the middle of a series talking through 1 Timothy, and just its instruction here to Timothy, who's a pastor of a church in Ephesus, okay? And so today and next week, or really last week too, a little bit, but it's a little churchy, okay? We talked about last week a little bit about how God has made men and women equal, but given them different roles and responsibilities in His church, and that continues on today when we talk about elders, okay? And then next week we'll talk about deacons, and we'll kind of get into this. Hopefully, help each other understand. Again, the goal here, really, in Paul's letter to Timothy, and I think the goal for us is that we would listen and learn of this instruction for how to be and have a healthy church. I think that's the point here is that. And so today, it's a time to talk about elders. Now, even like when I was preparing this, I'm thinking, I know there's going to be people in the room that are like, why do I care? I'm not one. What do I care? Well, I think it matters, though, okay? I think it matters as far as holding one another accountable and knowing what a healthy, God-fearing church structure ought to look like. And so I don't know your background. My background, I grew up in church, but I grew up in a church that did not have elders. I thought elders were old people, okay? And someone visited here not that long ago, and they knew Andy Guy from when Andy was a kid. And he said, "He's an elder here? I coached him in football." I was like, "Well, I don't know what that has to do with anything, but okay." So elders, that doesn't mean old people, okay? It's really the word in the New Testament, the word elder or overseer or shepherd or pastor. Those are all words that are used interchangeable to mean the same thing, okay? And what it means is a servant leader in the church, someone that serves the church by leading her. And I grew up in a world that had one pastor and 30 deacons and 7,300 committees and in that world, the deacons kind of function like elders, and some of you may have been around elders, some of you may not. That's why when we come to a place here, like, let's see what it says, okay? Let's see what the Bible says. Hopefully we can help each other walk in it and hold each other accountable as we grow in the ways that God wants us to as His church. We'll do 1 Timothy 3, 1-7. I'll also go to three other passages just so we can kind of pull it all in here together and see what it is that we're going to learn as far as being instructed by Paul in being the church that God would have us to be. 1 Timothy 3 says this, the saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of elder or overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, a husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunk, but not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. Okay, this is Paul writing to Timothy. He writes to Titus as well, okay? And Titus chapter 1, he gives him some of the same advice, okay? Timothy is in Ephesus. Titus is on an island in the Mediterranean called Crete, all right? And he writes to him and says, this is why I left you in Crete, so that you might what remained into order. The NIV says you might straighten out that which was left unfinished. Oh, I think it's a great translation. And then he says, and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. Now, this is why we believe, this is one of the places we believe why churches, each church should have more than one elder or pastor, okay? Because he tells Titus, I left you in Crete that you may straighten out that which was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town. I had a Baptist pastor say to me, he said, it says every town, Jeremy, not every church. To which I responded, do you think there were multiple churches in the different towns on the island of Crete in the first century? There weren't, okay? This picture, there should be multiple pastors of every church. And then he can give them a direction of what it should look like. Same thing he does in 1 Timothy. If anyone is above reproach, a husband of one wife, his children are believers and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination. For an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he might be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. Hebrews chapter 13, I've used this verse recently, but I'll do it again here. He says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. I urge you the more earnestly to do this in order that I might be restored to you sooner. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may be able to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Christ Jesus, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And then 1 Peter 5. Okay, last one. Peter, writing to the church in Asia Minor, it says, I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, for as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Okay, a lot here, a lot going on. And I just wanted to kind of take this as we see, and we'll preach 1 Timothy 3, but really kind of preaching the whole, all of these, right? To say, like, what are elders? Who are they? What do they do and how do they do it? Okay, there's three questions I want to answer for us today. Elders, who are they? What are they supposed to do and how are they supposed to do it? According to the Bible, these elders are men, but they are a particular kind of man. Okay, it's not just men in general, but this is a particular kind of man that God is moving and working in his life and then calling him to lead and shepherd his church underneath the authority of Christ. Who are they? Well, first off, they are men who have aspirations. Okay, they aspire to this. They want to do it. Meaning, if someone is going to serve you as a pastor for you, they should want to. Okay, it shouldn't be, well, I guess I will. No. Mm-mm. If someone that aspires to be an elder, an overseer, Paul says he aspires to something noble. Okay, but what he's aspiring to is death, not to power. Okay. And we've seen this go wrong, okay? I've seen it go way wrong. But the call of an elder or a pastor is a call to die to himself to serve Jesus' church, right? Not to gain power or whatever. And I know we liken being a pastor to this, what I'm doing right here, okay? This when people think pastor, this is what they think. Lights, microphone, whatever. And to tell you that this isn't 10% of my job would be an understatement. All right? Like this is the fun part, right? But just like your job, most of my job that you don't see is not the fun part. Most of the job that our pastors here you don't see is not the fun part. I heard a pastor say this one time, like shepherding. When you think about being a shepherd, taking care of sheep, like what is a shepherd doing? He's usually not like playing fetch with the healthy sheep. What he's usually doing is tending to the sick ones and beating off the wolves, right? Like that's the work of a shepherd, not playing beach volleyball with the healthy sheep. He's making sure those that are physically, spiritually, emotionally sick are being taken care of. And he's beating off wolves. That's the work of a shepherd, right? So Paul says, if you aspire to this, you aspire to a noble task, but you need to know what you're getting into. You're not doing this for power. You're doing this to die. You're to lay your life down for Jesus and his church. The call of an elder is not to power and authority. The call of an elder is to sacrifice and service. Elders are called to come and die. Jesus says in Matthew 20, Jesus called them to him and he said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you should be your slave, even as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." 2 Corinthians 4, we know, for we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. This is who he is, all right? These men that God's calling to serve his church by leading her, they aspire to follow Jesus in those things, right? Next thing he says is they must be above reproach. It's the next word. Above reproach. He's trustworthy and people believe in him. We've had situations in our church where things have happened and might not be a question of right or wrong, but certainly a question was that above reproach? Like, is that really how we want to handle that, right? The kind of men that we want serving our church in this role are men that you don't have to question them on that, right? Like, there's not these gray areas of their life. 3, husband of one wife. They are one woman men. Now, interesting thing here, we'll get to this next week more. I don't understand why we translate this to husband of one wife, because literally in the Greek it says nothing of husbands or wives, okay? Literally it says a one woman man. And I also think it's interesting to point out that Paul is giving him these qualifications for an elder. Paul's not married, right? Like, Paul isn't. I remember I was a church that I was serving. We had deacons, and they had a rule that you had to be married to be a deacon, because it says husband and one wife. Okay, and I said, "Well, Paul wasn't married. Could he be a deacon here?" And they said, "Nope." All right. You think that's a good idea? Like, he wrote about it, right? Like, he told us what to do. He couldn't be a deacon here. He ain't married. Might I just say to you, whatever your rules are for leadership in the local church, it should be wide enough to include Paul the Apostle, okay? And Jesus Christ, okay? Also unmarried. All right. Okay, it's a real low bar here, all right? Like, we're not talking, could Jesus be? No, I don't want to do that. All right. A one woman man. The picture here is not, is he married or has he been divorced? Oh. Picture is, if he's married, then he's a faithful husband, right? He's a faithful man. If they're married, they're committed to their wives. If they're not married, they're not playing the field either, right? I mean, they're a committed man. It's the picture here. 4, is that they're temperate. It means that he's disciplined enough to not be controlled by things. He's ruled by pursuit of God and not by pursuit of other things. He's tempered. 5, they're sensible, prudent, and reasonable. Right? They're reasonable. Let your reasonableness be made known to all, he says. Right? Like, we should be reasonable. Your leaders should be reasonable. They should not be unreasonable. You should be able to talk to them. They should have good judgment. 6. So many points. They're respectable. And they're honorable. Something that Paul is going to tell Titus in Titus chapter 2, he's going to tell young men to be self-controlled, young women to do this, older women to do this. And then he tells older men this, and I think this applies to all men, but particularly men that we are going to have serving as pastors. He says that they should be men who are worthy of respect. There should be men that are worth respecting. Again, bad story. I was a 23-year-old youth pastor, okay, at Circlewood Baptist Church, they should have fired me 5 dozen times, okay? But I was in the office one day talking to one of the deacons who had really bad understanding of things, and I felt like he needed to know that he had bad understanding of things, so I told him, and I don't remember the exact context, okay? But I do remember I dunked on him I was winning, okay? Can you imagine talking to this 65-year-old man who loves Jesus and loves his church, this 25-year-old just arrogant youth pastor, and I'm winning, you know? And he like drops the trump card on me. He was like, boy, you need to learn how to respect your elders. And I said, sir, you need to learn to be a man that's worth respecting, and you wouldn't have to ask for it. Yeah, I should have gotten fired for that one. That was not, don't say that to somebody, all right? All right, don't say that. But, okay, now that I'm becoming that guy, right? I want to be a man that's worth respecting. Right? Our leaders should be men who don't have to ask for respect. You should want to follow them. They should be respectable. They should be honorable, right? 7, they're hospitable. Meaning they welcome people, loves lost people, and loves to minister to people. It should be the joy of your pastors to minister, right? It's this burden that is joyful, and that should be the goal. 8, able to teach. They are skilled in teaching, okay? Your elders should be men who can answer you from the Bible when you have questions. That doesn't mean they're a walking encyclopedia, okay? They might have to look some stuff up. I have to look stuff up, right? There's a website, lmgtfy.com. Let me Google that for you. Some people, when they'll say, hey, where in the Bible does it say this? I'll send them, let me Google that for you, which is, I shouldn't do that. But it's funny to me, so I do it. And but no, your pastor should be people that are able to teach you. When you have a question about the Bible or about theology, about anything like that, they should be able to answer those questions for you. Again, they may not answer them all. They may have to go, hey, let me get back to you on that. Let me research it, but they should do that. Now, here's the thing that I would want you to know, though. Able to teach does not mean able to preach to 500 people, though. Right? Like just because someone doesn't have particular gifts of preaching to large crowds does not mean they aren't qualified as an elder to teach. Those are two different things. So don't miss that. 9, not a drunkard, okay? Not addicted to much wine, as it's going to say later. I don't think that needs a... Do you need me to explain that one? Don't be a drunk. Okay, your elders should not be drunks, period. 10, are we on 10? Is that where we're at? Oh yeah, y'all just turned the paper, okay. Sorry, Josh, man, my bad. Josh called me this week, he was like, hey, I think we're gonna need an extra piece of paper. I was like, no, you'll be able to fit it all in there. He's like, no, I won't. 10, they are gentle and peaceable. Gentle and peaceable, meaning that he doesn't love conflict, but he isn't afraid of it, right? I think you don't want your leaders to be confrontational, but you also don't want them to be dismissive either. Like, there are times where confrontation has to happen. You have to have hard conversations. Again, it's one of my favorite things, Josh Hilliker has said. We were in a meeting that was contentious to say the least, okay? And someone in the meeting said, well, we're not going to solve all this tonight. And Josh said, yeah, we are. He said, I don't care if we're here till 3 o'clock. We're not leaving here till we get this solved. And then he said, you know, guys, the gospel frees us to have hard conversations. And we're about to have one. And we did. And God was kind to us in that, right? We're gentle, peaceable. I mean, you're not looking for pastors that are always walking around with their chest blowed out, looking for the next church controversy or fight. But at the same time, you want a man that when there is conflict, when there needs to be resolution, he's able to gently and peaceably get us to that end. That's the kind of men we want pastoring us, right? 11, They aren't lovers of money. They're not lovers of money. Again, I don't think that needs a lot of explanation. 12, they're leaders of their homes. He says in verse 4, but if he can't manage his own household well, how is he going to take care of God's church, right? So if we're looking for men that are leaders in their own home, he serves his wife and his children. And I think this is, again, one of those verses. What about adult children? I think he's talking about children that are underneath your roof. As long as kids are under your roof, then you're loving them and leading them and serving them well. Your kids are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient, as he says in Titus chapter 2, right? In 13, point number 13, they are mature believers. I mean, he's not a new believer because Paul says that you don't want to give a guy this kind of authority and responsibility because it might puff him up and he might get caught in the snare of the devil, right? So we don't want him to do that. And then 14, we're almost done, I promise, okay? You had a 14-point sermon, Jeremy? No, I had a 20-point sermon. They have a good reputation with the outside world, right? That's why when we appoint new elders here, before we appoint them, we bring them up before you and we say, hey, if you know anything bad about this dude, let us know. We'd like to know before he becomes an elder because we want him to have a good reputation with the outsiders. People outside the church respect the way that he lives his life, even if they don't agree with him. He has respect for those that are outside the church. And all of that said, okay, is that this. Being an elder is more about who you are than what you're able to do. It's more about character than it is about skill. More concerned about the character of who this man is instead of what he can bring to the table. I think that's what we think about people. We're like, man, get that guy on our team. He can hit, right? Like, he brings this to the table. Not when it comes to elders. We're not asking, what can this guy do for us? We're asking, what kind of man is he? Right? Who is this man? How does he live his life? How is he caring for his family? What does he love? That's the kind of men Paul tells Timothy to be looking for as he appoints elders in Ephesus. So this is who they are. The last two are going to go quick. What do they do? Okay, what does an elder do? Good question. Meet on Tuesdays. What do elders do? They do these things. They lead under the authority of Jesus, okay? They lead. They serve the church by leading her. Elders lead. So when there's an issue, we take it to the elders. When there's a need for prayer, we take it to the elders. When we talk about hey, we're going to buy this building, I don't know, let's talk to our elders about it. Do we need to practice church discipline on this person? I don't know, let's talk to our elders about it. How are we going to go about that? Well, we'll take that. We're going to lead under the authority of Jesus. So I think that's the important thing. Because so many people think of elders or church boards or whatever you call that as a thing that's like these guys are the judge and the jury. And I would just tell you that if that's the case, then you're probably in an unhealthy environment, okay? Because every one of your elders, they need to say, yeah, God has given us this responsibility, but Jesus is the one in charge. Because we're all going to stand before Jesus one day and give an account for how we shepherd his church, okay? Every elder that's ever been will stand before the chief shepherd one day and will give an account for how we shepherd you. And I want you to know, we think about that around here, okay? We think about that. And there's a lot of things we don't do because of that, right? It's like, oh, I'm not doing that. I don't want to stand before Jesus one day and he'd be like, really? We're going to give an account because we are under the authority of Christ. As elders that are under the authority of Christ, we shepherd the body of Christ. Okay? We lead under the authority of Jesus. We shepherd. And again, I would take you back to that. If you could get a picture in your mind about what a shepherd does, I wish what that meant was we sat around and talked theology all the time and we were thinking through this, that, or the other. Like, that would be awesome. If we're just smoking pipes and sitting on leather and reading heavy books, that sounds great, okay? But I don't ever do that. I don't do that because of crises. because of marriages that are in shambles, because of marriages that are about to happen, and I get to go marry them and do premarital counseling with them, and then do marriage counseling the very next afternoon where somebody comes in with a grenade in one hand and a pen in the other, and they're ready to blow their life up, right? But that's what shepherding is. It's going and meeting someone's brand new baby for the first time and praying on the phone with someone that just got the news that they've got terminal cancer. That's shepherding, okay? That's what that is. It's not this. We had a guy one time that told me that we were talking about ministry, and he said, I really just want to be a teaching pastor. And I said, me too. That sounds awesome. But I said, if one of us is going to get that job, it's me. It's not you. You're 26, okay? You never done nothing, right? So I think that again, a lot of times when we think about what a pastor or an elder does, that's all we see, so that's all we think they do. But you should know that shepherding the body of Christ is more than that, okay? It's different than that. Elders care. Elders protect. Elders nurture. We care. Sometimes we have to show up at a house and be like, hey, it's time to roll. That's caring. It's protecting. Sometimes we have to nurture. Like nurturing, you think about like taking, like bringing something back to health. All these are roles of an elder, a shepherd, a pastor. They lead under the authority of Christ. They shepherd the body of Christ by caring, protecting, nurturing her. And finally, they teach, okay? That's what this is. They teach. They know the Bible and they teach it. This is what they do. That's who they are. And it's what they do. How then should they do it? And I'm done, okay? When you think about elders, and we'll be going through this process again here soon at our church, nominating men to potentially serve as an elder. How should they do it? And look, here's the thing I would ask of you. If you see me or you see our other elders not doing it this way, just remind us and encourage us to do it this way, okay? Remind and encourage elders that they should do these things. This is the kind of men they should be. They lead under the authority of Christ. They shepherd the body of Christ. They teach the word of God. How should they do that? They should do that eagerly. Eagerly. Like, I want to do this. Like, what kind of weirdo would want to do that? I don't know. Me. I want to do this. I aspire to this. I want you to call me at 3 a.m. I want to come cry with you and hug you. And I want to take my wedding selfie with you, you know? I want to do all this. Do it eagerly. They should do it by example. Follow me as I follow Christ is a picture here. Not that elders are perfect. Elders are not perfect. I know you know that. I mean, I'm not perfect by any means. I don't have the perfect marriage. I don't have the perfect kids. I say stuff I shouldn't say. I think things a lot that I shouldn't think, right? And I'm trying to follow Jesus. And my goal is to help you follow him as an example. How else should they do it? This is a hard one. With patience. Bearing with one another in love, right? I like patience sometimes. Be patient with me for my impatience. And then lastly, eagerly by example with patience and joyfully. Joyfully. And it should be their joy to love you and serve you. It should be their joy to lead you. It should be their joy to walk with you through hard days, okay? That doesn't mean those things are joyful, but it should be their privilege to do that. These are the kinds of men we need, right? And how many do we need? That's my ask. How many elders do you want at Capstone Church? And I said, as many as we can have. Like, if I want as many of those dudes here as possible, right? Like that guy, a guy that's trying to be that guy, a guy that's pursuing to be that guy, I want as many of him as possible, okay? And the last thing I'll tell you is this, and we're done. When you hear all that, Here's this elder, shepherd, pastor, overseer. Look, there are, we're going to talk about this next week with deacons. There is the office of elder and the office of deacon, and then there's the responsibility of doing that. All of us are called to shepherd one another, right? Like there's one another's all in the Bible, that we care for one another, we teach one another. So it's not like it's not like one of these situations where it's like, well, if the elders didn't say it, it's not true. No, that's not the case. Okay, elders have a set apart responsibility to shepherd, but we shepherd one another, right? Tali shepherds me all the time. Okay, hopefully I shepherd her as well. I mean, there's one another things that go on in our relationships that you don't get to set. Just like the role of deacon is one of service. Right? But that doesn't mean that everybody that hands out a bulletin's a deacon. It means that there are going to be some people that are set apart for this role, and then others, because we're Christians, we do them. And same thing here with shepherding. It's something that you should be looking for people in your life, younger people in your life that you can pour into. You can shepherd in a sense. And we have men that are set apart to do that for us as a fixed thing, and we should look for these kind of men to do that. Would you join me as we pray? Father, I just pray that you would, a passage like this, I pray you would use it to encourage your people today. I know that when we read about churchy stuff, for some it can feel like, man, what's that got to do with me? But at the same time, it has to do with all of us, because we are a body under the authority of Christ, being led as you direct us. And so, Lord, I pray you help us to see that. I pray you would help us to be these kind of men, that we would look for these kind of men, and we would accomplish what you have us to do as your church. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.